For when the day is long, when you are afraid, when you feel alone, when you don't know how to have hope, when you're learning to show up for yourself. A collection of quotes from therapist and beloved author Andy Kohlberg. May take what you need be a balm to your most tender places, a beautiful gift for the hardest days. Each page will remind you that no matter where you are on your journey to healing, you are not alone. And while there might not be answers, you will find compassion. You will find reminders of who God created you to be. You'll come away feeling a little more empowered to take one more step. Take What You Need by Andy Kohlberg is available where books are sold.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a compassionate guide for those seeking to heal and thrive. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach and fellow traveler on the path to healing. In this podcast, we will engage in heartfelt conversation with experts in the field of trauma healing. We'll explore ways to cultivate feeling safe in our bodies and in connection to others, so that we can be present to live the life we've been given more fully and with more joy. Join us as we navigate the way towards a life restored. Introducing your host, Monique Coven.
Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Monique, for having me. I'm so excited to be on the Healing Trauma Podcast with you. I just adore you. Our connection even before the podcast just was instant. And if I could just jump through the screen and give you a big hug, I sure would. So thank you so much for having me on your show.
Back at you. First of all, can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, I'm Dr. Sherry Campbell, and I have written 3 books on the toxic family dynamic. Well, kind of 3.5, because I have Pocket Therapist, which kind of covers toxic dynamics as well. And my new book was just accepted for publishing. So I'm so excited about this new book. I think I love every book better than the one before. I think the new book that's going to be published, I feel the closest to this book of all of my books that I've ever written. So that's evolving. And I just feel like I've been able to share my personal story, but also share it from the space of being an expert in this field. I do have a PhD in psychology. I do have a very busy private practice. And I was really scared to do this work and to share my story because so many clinicians just don't share their story. They share just the blanket knowledge. But I felt like I really wanted to be someone that people could relate to instead of like, oh, well, she has a PhD. I wanted it to be like, no, she is a survivor and she sees me and she gets me. And I feel like that's the vibe that my books pop. So
I think what would be really helpful, and it would explain a lot about you, is if you gave us the title of your books. I have read 2 of your books. So why don't you tell us the titles?
So I have But It's Your Family, Cutting Ties with Toxic Family, Loving Yourself in the Aftermath. And then after that, I wrote Adult Survivors of Toxic Family Members. And after that, I wrote Adult Survivors of Emotionally Abusive Parents. And prior to those 3, I wrote a book called Your Pocket Therapist. And it's just a daily, but it gives you like little doses of medicine of how to deal with the toxic people in your life. And that book can apply across all toxic people, not just parents or family. So those are my 4 books right now written. And the new book, I can't give the title yet because it's not out, but we're working on that title.
I came across your book. I was already following you on Instagram. And then I started reading your book. And I know you know that it impacted me. What I really appreciated is that you have the lived experience on top of the education. And so this to me felt, not only was it personal, but it was so helpful. I was getting so many insights. I was sharing parts of it with my own therapist and working through it. And this is something that if you are a survivor who grew up with a narcissistic or narcissistic type of caregiver, I don't even like the word caregiver because should we call it non-caregiver?
Then this wasn't very caring.
No, I guess it's supposed to be caregiver. It's supposed to be caregiver.
Supposed to be, yeah.
This book can really, really help you. And I think it came at a really good time. So what I'm hoping we can do together is, I mean, there is, honestly, I could keep you here for a few days. There's so much to talk about. Maybe you could give us a little bit of an explanation of what do you mean by dealing with an abusive or an emotionally abusive parent? What is that?
I think emotionally abusive parents, at least I have two. I had a toxic mother and a toxic father, and they weren't emotionally immature. So let's maybe differentiate that. So emotional immaturity is kind of like having diarrhea of the mouth, but you don't know you're being offensive. Like you're saying things that you just don't, you're not understanding that you're being offensive. When that happens, you can sort of develop like an acceptance. Like, all right, so the EQ isn't very high, but I do know that my mom or my dad genuinely loves me, because outside of those moments where their mouth is ahead of their insight, there is a lot of love and there's a support and there's consistency and predictability. So that's our emotionally immature parent. They can be kind of off, or it can be taken mean, maybe what they say, but they genuinely don't know that it's it. Also, if you confront them, they'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it that way, or whatever. That is not what I had at all. I had two very cruel, calculated, planned, mean, thoughtless, reckless, unsafe parents. There are 9 marriages between the two of them. I was an afterthought at every turn, but I also felt like there were these tests I had to pass daily that I wasn't allowed to study for, but I had to pass. And so everything was a mystery, a fear for me. And I could never predict my environment. And it was not a nice place. When it was nice, it was like fake empathy. There were times my mother specifically would be very nice to me to get information. And then the next thing I'd know, anything I told her had turned into a whole new story. And I was being used as a scapegoat for some gossip. She loved my sibling, but not me, and made it very clear to me that she could do it and that she wasn't going to do it for me. And so my father was violent, physically violent with me. I think both my mom and my dad hate women. So I think that was an interesting family to be placed in. My little spirit was just crushed, suicidal by 5th grade, and not knowing how to do it, but knowing I wanted to die. I couldn't understand how anything that loved me could keep me here in this situation that I was in. But on the other side, they had incredible public images. So I could never prove what was happening to me specifically. They were good to my brother, who I believe is a victim himself, based on how I know he's turned out. And my parents, they all looked good. I was like the bad egg. I got labeled sort of the bad egg. But I was the truth bearer, and I was sensitive, and I was in touch with my intuition and what was right and wrong. And I got crucified for all of that. So I really did have to learn to really to disappear. And for many years, I had learned to disappear. Mm-hmm. So that's a very different kind of family than a family that is maybe just a little unconscious or low on the EQ. There was no apologies. I got, sorry you feel that way. You know, as an adult, I got, you're the shrink. I guess you know everything. So I didn't really get those. Oh, I'm so sorry I hurt your feelings. I absolutely did not mean that. I can see how that hurt your feelings. I will be wary of my words going forward, because, you know, so those are sort of very stark differences, I think, to help the listener to differentiate.
I think that when it comes to this whole topic, there is such a range.
Yeah.
There's such a range, because I think I had this kind of with you. I was always trying to figure out whether they understood what they were doing. Do they have the capacity to see that they're causing harm, or is it missing? What you are talking about was that it was, you really were sure that it was, they were aware of what they were doing.
It took me 4.5 decades to that being very sure. I, for a very long time, did think I was the cause and source of all of the problems, because that is what I was told. And I did get angry. I did get upset. I did try to stand up for myself, and I got labeled an abuser. So I definitely want the listener to know, like, it took me 4.5 decades. I would have loved if they could have been emotionally immature, so that I could have had something to hang on to, anything to hang on to.
You said something in one of your posts, and I'm not going to say it right because I don't really remember exactly what you said. Hopefully it's going to come back to your mind.
Yeah.
About, even if they don't, you talked about a broken leg. but they're still kicking you, something like that. Could you talk about that? Because I found that was really good.
If someone has a broken leg and they're kicking you, you can't excuse the abuse because their leg is broken.
Yes.
You know, what I had to come to, and the reason I love that metaphor so, so much is because I thought, well, they don't know any better. My belief, because the society was all parents love their children, so they love me. They have to love me. But they must be broken somewhere themselves, and so they're kicking me, and so therefore I can't get mad that they're kicking the shit out of me because they have a broken leg. How mean of me to be upset that this broken-legged parent is kicking me.
That is such a good metaphor. Really, it shook me up. I got to really see that.
Yeah. Yeah, and there is no excuse. I mean, it's the intent. A broken-legged person's mind still works. So there's an intent to kick me. So because they're the parent, it's like, that's the broken leg. I know, but it's your parent. Okay, but they're kicking me. I know, but it's your parent. You know, it's so twisted. And it's a big cognitive dissonance that we face in our society. I did a TED Talk on this. And the title of the TED Talk is Not All Parents Are Good. Listen, not all parents are bad. But the bottom line is we have to start pulling back the curtain because some of the worst abuse is happening inside our own family systems. And they're getting away with it because their family or their the parent, right? The court cases I've seen go through court here in America over the past 4 years of parents going to jail for harming their children, and yet it doesn't make national news. I'm like, that guy just killed his son on a treadmill. Why is this not front page? And why don't we hear about it anymore? It's just crazy to me that we just disappear it. So my belief is that if someone has a broken leg but not a broken mind, then they should know better than to kick you.
But then we can get into, well, how do you define a broken mind?
Right. But if we go to preschool and we learn not to bite our fellow students or hit them or kick them or pull their hair, then it would seem that these general rules of basic human decency wouldn't have the depth of the broken mind really wouldn't matter because we learn this from preschool going forward, right? So it's a choice. And I think that that was probably the hardest thing for me, Monique, is to recognize that they didn't accidentally abuse me. They planned, calculated, and chose to abuse me. So for me, I don't really care where their brokenness is. That's not mine to fix. I certainly didn't cause it. So why am I at the other end of the equal sign of their abuse? They need to take responsibility for whatever that is. My mom was absolutely not abused. Okay. My father was. My mom was privileged, absolutely not abused in any way. So there is no excuse. Not that she didn't have certain problems growing up, but her parents were married her entire life, very, very wealthy. And, you know, I don't know that they were perfect parents, but they were stable. They loved her. They financially supported her entire life. So what is her excuse other than somewhere in her world, she didn't develop a healthy ego. She ended up with a very toxic ego.
I think all of this, the pain that ends up, you know, how much it impacts us. We hear society making all kinds of excuses because of the title, parents, family. Did they mean it? Are they conscious of it? All of that. The point is that it has impacted us and it continues to impact us. And so let's get into a little bit about the beginning of setting some boundaries in this area. Maybe you want to talk about that.
I'll give a little sneak peek.
Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal ingredients called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages, who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS-like irritability, Moodiness, discomfort, or uncontrollable cravings, menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Yes, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEALING at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEALING for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Into the new book. And the reason I will is because I've been using this metaphor in my office for like 30 plus years. But I look at boundaries as having a porch, a yard, a fence, and a picket line. Okay. So when we're born, like the closest people to us would be the closest to the door being the inside of your person. And when we're born by no choice of our own, our family's on our porch. But if they defecate on the porch and you notice, you start to notice and you tell them like, hey, you kind of left a mess here on my porch. I would really appreciate if you could clean that up. And they go, well, it's your porch. Okay. So when that's happening over and over again, you recognize like I need to get them off the porch. I'll move them to the yard. They can come for the barbecue. They can come for the events I host. But I'm going to demote them to the yard. I don't love them less than I do on my porch, but I really want what's closest to my heart to be clean and for me, respectful of my space, right? So when you move them into the yard, I think this is kind of when you figure out, are they emotionally immature where they leave a little mess in your yard and you're like, you know, it's not that big a deal. She didn't mean to, he didn't mean to. I'll just clean it up. We don't need any more conflict boundaries. But if they start destroying your events and everyone is unhappy and it's chaotic because they showed up to ruin every event that you have, okay, so now you confront them, say, hey, you know, you're leaving a mess in my yard. You're kind of ruining my events. They're like, ah, it's your yard. You clean it up. So now you have to demote them again. You don't love them less as you did on the porch, but you're putting them at a greater and greater distance from you so that your events are safe. You feel safe. Your yard is safe. There's not holes in the yard. There's not defecation all over the yard, for lack of a better.
No, I love this analogy. It's okay. Perfect.
So then when you put them out to the fence, I had the most pain going from fence, yard to fence, because then they were off of property. Okay. And I was like, man, I guess the HOA is going to have to go clean up their mess. Okay. So I look at it as like high contact, lower contact, and then your cordial contact. So at cordial contact, for example, my mom would call, let's say, and it would be like my externalized immune system was my phone and I'd see her name and I'd be like, oh, can I go down to the fence today and lean on that fence and have that talk or can't I? Where am I at? And then if fence talk started getting like, I want back in your yard, then I would have to find a way to get off the phone. Staying at the fence doesn't satisfy them very much because there's just not enough conflict there. And so what I've learned, or at least in my situation, they moved themselves into my cul-de-sac and they started a picket line and smeared me to all my closest neighbors. Okay. So I had to board up my house and protect myself from that onslaught. And they get in the picket line and they're like, I don't know why she cut me off. It just came out of nowhere. And you're like, you don't remember the time on the porch and all the chances I gave you? You don't remember how many times? This is not a sudden decision for any of us. It took me 4.5 decades. And so for me, I need visuals. I've always been an athlete, and my greatest coaches have always given me these metaphors. And I've loved house metaphors of all kinds, you know, even garden metaphors. I love them. But I could not be comfortable on my own property with even a dial up at my fence. I couldn't heal. One call from her could send me down for 2 weeks. So I didn't move them to the picket line. They moved themselves there. And you know, it's out there. I know that smear campaign is still rolling along almost 9 years later, but it does lose its power. I've learned not to fight fire with fire. I made all of those mistakes. But for boundaries for me, I don't think that verbal boundaries work very often. I've learned to shut my mouth and use my feet and get my body away from my nervous system being on fire anytime I was around their bodies, right? So greater distance, fewer words, you know, greater distance, fewer words, shut your mouth, use your feet. And if you are called to be direct at some point, make it short and sweet and talk slow. Because you cannot yell and talk slow at the same time unless you want to sound like Dory calling to the whale on Finding Nemo. I don't think that's how you want to sound, right? So you can say, I've told you why you're at the fence and I'm not further explaining it. Shut your mouth, use your feet, go back to the yard.
Wow. You know, you're talking about your own experience and how it's taken you 4.5 decades. And I say the exact same thing. I wish that it took sooner. This is one of the reasons why I want to share this with the audience. If there's anything that people can do to help their mental health, their physical health, because from what you've described, and I can relate, affects our bodies, our minds, our health. You know, I would be out for days with a
days, week.
Yeah. And if that's you and you're listening to this, and yet you are afraid of what it might cause. What are you sacrificing? Are you continuing to sacrifice your own mental health and your own physical health because you don't want to upset them? You would rather upset yourself. Now, I don't know if you've been brainwashed like most of us in that then we have this message that you're selfish. That's a message that we learned from our family. Mm-hmm. And you are not selfish. In fact, the opposite. You have been self-sacrificing your emotional health, your physical health, decades, for years, whatever your story is. And you matter. If they didn't tell you that, I'm telling you, and Dr. Sherry is telling you, you matter.
You know, the thing is we were trained to be predictable to these people by be perpetually not selfish enough. Okay, so they trained us to be predictable. So when you're the sensitive child, your spirit is going to want repair and you will sacrifice yourself naturally for that repair because you're the sensitive child. They know exactly who you are and they know exactly how to be the most selfish person who's accusing you of being not selfish. I have little mantras that have helped me through those times of deep repair and guilt. And am I doing something wrong? Am I being mean? Am I responsible for their feelings on the other side of my boundaries? And the bottom line is I am not responsible for any of their feelings on the other side of boundaries that were designed to keep them in my life. My boundaries have never been designed to demote them. I gave them so many, I let them know what they were doing. I let them know that it hurt me, and I gave them plenty of opportunity to change their behavior. I educated them. They had all the knowledge that they needed, and I got no. So they are a product of their own choices, right? But the difference between us and them is it comes down to one word, and it is responsible. Responsibility is completely synonymous with mental health. You will never meet an irresponsible, mentally healthy person. The one thing the toxic people don't do is take responsibility. They blame and shame instead. When you're a child and you're not independent of them, what choice do you have other than to absorb and try to stay safe?
Right.
Or you believe it's you. Mm-hmm. They tell you it's you. We believe our parents because we're designed to for survival. So I have little things that I do. Like I have the cover screen of my phone says, things are always working out for you, because I feel perpetually unsafe. It's just in my biology at this point.
Yes.
I always think the bottom's going to fall out. Yeah. You know, it's too good, or I'm not good at this. You know, I mean, we were talking about some stuff before. And I can be really hard on myself. And I see that one thing, things are always working out for you. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Right. So I do think things are always working out for us. The greatest gift that you give someone in the highest form of love is responsibility. If you truly, genuinely love someone, you'll give them every opportunity for responsibility that you can. Just because you gave them those opportunities and they didn't take it is not a measure of your worth. It's a measure of their irritation that they'd have to take responsibility.
You know, you said something. Let's see if I can find it. I said, here. Okay. You said a healthy family, when there's conflict, they're handled with more benevolence, maturity, civility. Excuse me, I can't say the word. They're civil.
Civility.
Yes. Actually, when I heard the word in the audiobook, I'm like, I like that word. When something bad happens, they reach for connection. They reach for understanding. They reach for compassion, feelings, all of these things. I mean, I think of myself as a mother. If I upset my daughters, the first thing I would do is, what can I do? What's happening? I would do everything and anything to repair me, because I care about their feelings and them, and I want them in my life. To think that that is something that they don't try to do.
I know, it's
really something.
It's really something, isn't it? It's like, what, I have a 20-year-old and she is just such an angel. And we've never had a fight. We've never had that. It's not that that makes anything. She just is a very sweet soul, very mature, very old soul. And I would love to take credit for it, but I can't. I think she was just born into this amazing sort of high level being. But it has been her and me only since she was three. So we have really this teamwork. And what, like, even when she was sick as a little girl, it consumed every thought in my mind that she was sick. I could smell her fevers from 25 feet away, just so connected to her. And so when I look at her little face and I just think, I had a little face like that.
I could
never hurt her. I want her to feel glorious about herself. I want her to believe in herself. I want her to know her gifts, her strengths, her, when her heart's been broken or she stood up to peer pressure, she's sobbing in my arms. I am so for her.
Yes, you are speaking my language. Yeah,
I am so for her. And the thing is, if someone is torturing you and they're planning and they're manipulating and they're setting you up and they're scapegoating you, and that is your mother, she's not for you. I don't want relationships in my life that aren't for me, that want the best for me. When you have a parent who finds joy in having power over you and watching you hurt, that is a level of sick that no psychology book is ever going to help me understand, because I'm simply not sick enough to understand it. I would see satisfaction on her face.
Oh my goodness.
Pure satisfaction on her face. She knows it. And I know it. And I honestly, she cut me off, so I didn't even have to go no contact. But, well, I did, because then she was hoovering and all kinds of things. But the bottom line is, I think she's relieved. And so good. Better to be free. I love you.
Yes.
I don't like you. I don't respect you. You're not for me. I can't have you in my life. I don't wish her any harm. Huh. I don't have any of that. I'm just indifferent. We've completed whatever soul contract we must have on this planet right now. And I wish her the very best. I hope she gets right with herself before she passes. Not my responsibility. I've given her the most beautiful lesson. She lost a relationship with her daughter. There is so much opportunity for growth there. But my growth shouldn't send me back into a parentified space to continue to be abused. If she's not sorry and she's not going to change and she's not for me, then my fence is high, sturdy, nice tight beams, electricity.
I just love that. And yeah, she did miss out. I mean, what a precious person you are. And I can imagine when you said little face, I could just imagine. And I don't mean to compare you to a dog.
Dog's my favorite.
I was just going to say, I'm a dog lover. Like, I've always rescued dogs. And so we know the compassion we feel for a dog if he's in pain and he can't speak. So a helpless, the way we care for them, the way we love them, the nurture, all of that. And then to think that a care, I don't want to use a word, supposed to be caregiver, cannot even do that to their own flesh and blood. So I did want to say something, though, in case the audience is listening and someone's saying, well, I didn't have a mother like Sherry. I mean, my mother, she didn't, you know, purposely, maybe she did something different in that she completely neglected you. Maybe she allowed you to be in situations that were very harmful and it didn't matter to her. And yet you were harmed. There's lots of different experiences and they all matter. That's right. And
all abuse is emotional. If you're physically abused, my dad bloodied my face. I hurt emotionally about that today, far past the time that he did it at 7. If you're sexually molested by somebody, thank God that I did not have spared that, at least not physical. My dad would tell me I was his sexual partner in other lifetimes because that's fun to hear at 15. He was in cults. It was cute. If you're molested, you hurt emotionally forever over those incidences of molestation that have long passed decades ago, right? So I truly believe if you're neglected and you feel like your existence in this world is insignificant and you literally matter to no one, that's awful. That is so awful because, you know, sometimes I like with emotionally abusive parents or emotionally immature parents, excuse me, I don't think they're trying to hurt anyone. I don't know that they're thinking about you at all, though. And I think that's a problem, right? So abuse has so many flavors.
It does.
And I think neglect is intentional. I think physical abuse is intentional. Sexual abuse is intentional. Verbal abuse is intentional. I think neglect is intentional. Because if you're not responsible, then you will be neglectful. I was very neglected by my mom, not in terms of food, home, and shelter or clothing, but in terms of my emotional well-being.
Oh,
I love that you said that because I do think that, you know, I share my unique story, but my unique story isn't everyone else's. We're all different. We are all like a little fingerprint in this universe, right? If you feel that you were neglected, hurt, abused, then you were. Because let me tell you, does it serve you to make it up? It doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve me to have this story. I'm turning my predators to a purpose. It's been a very painful life.
Yeah.
Very painful. Because there's pain in no contact for us as well. We lose all kinds of relationships because of it. Because they start the picket line in your cul-de-sac. Right. So it's not no contact. It's like, okay, cool. I'm healed. I'm fine. I mean, it's an adjustment every day. You know, I'm perimenopausal. I would love to talk to my own genetics about what my body's going through. Not a generic doctor. I want to talk to my mom. I want a mom that is my genetics, but I can't unzip her body and take out her personality and zip in a new one that's going to love me and support me. I'd be afraid to tell her anything about my body because God knows what that would turn into.
There's so much here. And we do try to do our best to make it work. Like you said, all the opportunities. Yeah. And sometimes we just can't make it work. And so we have to really look at, okay, so what can I do now to help myself begin to heal? And I think for me anyway, and it sounds like it was for you, one of the big moments was really establishing those strong boundaries. I read somewhere where they were saying that healing is really becoming the person that you were supposed to become in childhood, something like that. And so that you can begin to really finally blossom into what you were meant to be.
And I feel that we all have a really unique purpose. And I've come to feel like everything I've been through has been my purpose. I didn't know it as a little girl that I would have a purpose like this. Honestly, I almost failed three grades. I did not think I would ever make it anywhere. I was like the loser kid, right? So to be here today and to have a PhD and I'm an overfunctioner. I mean, I'll raise my hand, overfunction. I work hard mostly from fear still. You know, there's just all these things that are still a part of my system, but I'm very aware of them. I love acceptance commitment therapy. It's really changed my life because it's not about getting rid of anything. It's just about accepting and assimilating and allowing it to be like, you can't go back. Unless I get a lobotomy, I'm never going to get rid of my vagus nerve activation or my amygdala hippocampal areas. It's like, it's a part of me, and letting it be a part of me, just allowing it to be a part of me in a healed space and seeing the gifts that I've turned it into, because I don't believe my family gifted me with anything. I've turned them into gifts. I've been my own little alchemist in this life, and sharing my story, especially But It's Your Family, was a very controversial book. It was the first one coming from a professional that is like, cutting ties is okay. And I'm the OG here on that one. I did not mean to be, but I am, as a professional and an expert in a field, to suggest this. It goes against a lot of maybe what other therapists would think of as moral, or, you know, you should at least have a little tie to your family. Says who? If that little tie brings me down for 2 weeks and I need therapy two times a week because I had this awful talk with my mom, and then I hear, well, she didn't know any better. Well, I know better then. I'm going to know better if she doesn't. If she doesn't know better and she's not going to wake up and she's going to continue to abuse me, then I get to know better and I'm setting the right boundaries.
Yes. That's so good. That's so good. Yeah, I think we're starting now to hear more about cutting ties, where 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that would have been like with your...
So my book was written 5 years ago. So I, as far as experts, I think other people have done no contact and written about it, but I wrote about it as a PhD, and it started this whole movement and a lot of other experts now. And I'm so thankful for every expert that's spreading this, right? Because I was doing some deep research on how, well, what do I do then when they die? I mean, you read the book. I'm like, I'm running. Like, what do I do if they die? Like, do I have to do something then? Do I have to go be a good girl? And people say I'm going to regret all of this. And it's like, and now I got it on the TEDx stage, right? So I've gone from, there's a book I didn't mention, actually. It's called Loving Yourself, The Mastery of Being Your Own Person. And a lot of it's poetry, and I self-published it. I cannot read that book without crying. I can read all my other books and not cry, but that book I can't read. And it should have really been two books. So I'm taking the second half of that book, and I turned it into the book I'm going to be doing now. And I refurbished all of it, and it's really lovely. But the poetry really kind of grabs at the core of how much pain I was in and what it was really like, you know. And revisiting that book, I was still in a place that's like, well, I know they love me somewhere, so I'll stay connected. I'll accept them for who they are. I did all that work. I tried all of those sayings. I tried the benefit of the doubt. It got so bad that I was being abused, verbally assaulted in front of my daughter, and cut off. And that was the game. The silent treatment was one of her favorite games. And I just was like, I can't do it anymore. And I stopped because I know better. If she's never going to know better, I get to know better. And that's the power that all the listeners have. You know, get out of the rhetoric of, well, they don't know any better. I'm sure they love you. If they never know better and they're never going to do better, then you can know better and you can do better. Mm. And that is that blossom that you mentioned. It's that coming to life where you're like, okay, I'm going to be 100% responsible for my life. 100%. And it's kind of lonely. It kind of hurts, but I'm going to be 100% responsible. And I learned that I'm not by myself. I am with myself. With. You can like you enough to be with yourself, not by yourself. Right? So There's so much beauty in the journey of healing. And now today, I wouldn't change it.
Wow. Okay, so we need another couple of episodes. There's so much, but I think this is going to give people a lot to chew on. And I hope, again, that you just get from this that even if nobody told you that you mattered, your life matters so much. And it's not too late. And yeah, that's what I hope.
It's never too late. You know, something you said earlier is, you know, you wish you would have done it earlier. And I really went through that as well. I'm like, God, why did, you know what? I look back on Sherry, who was 42 and she got cut off by her family and annihilated on her birthday. And I'm like, well, girl, that girl was trying so hard. You know, she finally tapped out. And I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of her. She was so brave and she went through hell. But I'm here now as evidence that, you know, genuinely happy. Genuine. It's really, really genuine. I'm still really hard on myself. I have all my quirks, right? But I'm genuinely happy. And if I can get here and I can do it all by myself, then I know you can do it by yourself. And, you know, Monique, if you want round two, round three of this, you just let me know. I love, adore you. I love the work that you do. I'm excited for your audience that you exist. I just think it's wonderful and precious. And I love being here. So, you know, if you want more, I'll give you more.
All right. So I'm going to put all your information in the show notes as well. The name of your books, your podcast. Yeah, she's got a podcast. Yay. I'll put all that there. And again, I thank you. And I look forward to your new book. So thank you for being here today.
Yes, thank you so much. And love to all the listeners. Keep going. It's worth it.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.